Hey friend, are you worried about making wrong choices for your co-op? Or are you wasting time on opportunities that don't fit your community? Or are you lost in the weeds with all the decisions that need to be made?
In this episode, we will talk about what a mission statement is and why you need one based on godly principles that will stand the test of time. So get your pencils ready to take some notes.
Hello, and thanks for joining She Leads by Faith podcast. We are the homeschool community builders. I'm Pam Kafer, along with Molly Kitzmiller and Hannah Larson, and we are here helping homeschool leaders grow lasting community built on Christ, connection, and strong leadership.
Are you or your kids feeling isolated and discouraged, even though you're in a homeschool group or co-op? Or are you homeschooling by yourself and desire a like-minded Christian community? Is the Holy Spirit prompting you to build an authentic community for your family? There are families waiting for you to answer the call. We know that the thought of starting your own group that truly meets your needs can be overwhelming. You are not alone. We are here to come alongside you.
We are three homeschool moms and co-op leaders with over 30 years of experience between us, leading thriving homeschool groups. We have answered the call to obediently step out in faith and trust God's plan. We have learned many lessons along the way, and we want to help you have a smooth journey so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you're ready for lasting community built on Christ, connection, and servant leadership, this podcast is for you. Pop in your earbuds, keep your notebook handy, and be encouraged. You can do this. We are here for you.
Hey everybody, it is launch day and we are really excited to be here. This is our fourth episode that we have recorded and we are just so thankful that if you're listening to this fourth episode that you have stuck with us thus far. We know that there's been a couple little mistakes, technological
glitches.
all the things, and we are just so thankful that you're still listening to us. So today, what we would like to talk about is creating a mission statement and why you need a mission statement. Many times when we begin building our community, we waste a lot of time talking, meeting, rehashing issues that don't improve the connection or foundation of our co-op. So the best way to stay focused on what is most important is to create a solid mission statement. So do you guys want to first define what is a mission statement?
I can't tell you how many times we have fallen back on our mission statement in making decisions about protocols or rules or wondering whether or not we should do something. We always go back to our mission statement. It just really helps us save time and be clear. And that's the two main reasons. Why is for clarity and direction. So it will help you guide the decisions when you have your pillars in place. And we'll talk about in the future exactly how to create your mission statement, like the nitty gritty, like do these things to figure out what your pillars are. But today we just wanted to really talk about what it is and why you need one. And so the main thing is for clarity and direction. It also helps to be the arbiter between disagreeing parties, and it's the foundation that guides the board. So as the board, your job is to make sure that everything is running smoothly, that you stay within your beliefs, and the having a clear, short statement helps you to go right back to those pillars and know exactly what you need to do to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. And it also lets interested families know who and what you're all about, so that if they see your mission statement on your website, they'll know right away if it's something that's not going to be a fit for them, or if there's more interest and they want to pursue more knowledge about what you're about.
So Hannah, you said at the beginning that it's a short statement. It seems like there's a lot of information in there. How do we keep it short and concise so that, I've seen mission statements that are just like sort of general kind of flowery language. They all about love, joy, peace. I don't know, not exactly.
We want none of that at our co-op.
But it really does need to be specific, right? In order very to be specific. Useful.
And it needs to be realistic. Your mission statement is not there to have all this ambition.
Right.
Right? This is, what are you going to hold to today and for the years to come? It's your guiding light. It's not this, it's not a vision board.
Right. That's a great contrast right there, because you could use a vision board to help guide you in your mission statement, but the mission statement has to be pithy, right? It has to be clear, because if it's going to help you guide your decisions and make your decisions as a board, then it cannot be kind of indistinct.
Yeah. So as a board, you will have a lot of people, a lot of input from a lot of different people. And having a mission statement will help you to determine whether or not you need to make a change, whether it aligns with your values and everything else. So it's going to help you to be clear as far as your future of your co-op goes.
Well, there's two main questions that it should answer. It should ask, who are you? Or it should answer, ask yourself, who are you? And what do you do? Those two things are the main things that need to be in your mission statement. And you've got to think of things very long term. So under who are you, some of the things you might want to think about are you an ecumenical group? Or are you a group that is going to be focused on one specific denomination? We're talking to Christians here. So ecumenical meaning, are you going to include all Christians that come from Catholicism or Orthodoxy or Protestantism or whatever? Are you going to accept all Christians, or are you going to be just a Catholic group? Are you going to be just a Protestant group? Whatever it is, it's fine, but you have to know that up front so that when somebody comes to you and says, we want to join your group and here's what we believe, you can say, well, I'm sorry, or that's not really part of our mission statement, or you're welcome to come and join us. So it's the first line of decision-making that helps you to do that. The second thing that you might want to think about is your group going to be an academic group focused mostly on classes that are like your core kind of academic classes, or are you going to be an enrichment group that teaches classes on life skills or just fun things or all those things that nobody wants to do by themselves at home and needs a group to do? Again, it doesn't matter one way or the other, but you have to know ahead of time so that when somebody comes to you with a suggestion, hey, let's teach XYZ class, let's teach basket weaving next semester, you can say, well, yeah, that's great. That's part of, that really falls under our mission statement. Or you can say, you know, that's really not what we do. I'm sure somebody else can do that, or you can find that somewhere else, but we need to stay focused on what we do.
Mm-hmm. And it is okay to have a combination of both of those. You can have enrichment and academics.
For sure, yeah.
And so it's just helpful to know. The purpose of knowing who you are is so that you can be able to share with the people that are interested whether or not it's a good fit. Because if you get people in your community that are not a good fit, it's going to be a lot of struggle for the both of you.
Yeah, that's a huge source of conflict, right? If you don't know, if you don't have clarity ahead of time, then you have expectations from people that aren't going to be met. And then when expectations aren't met, people get frustrated. And it's not usually anybody's fault. So the other thing about who are you? You may be just a support group for moms, or you may be a whole community for families. It may be that you choose one or the other. And again, you just need to know, what are you about and what is your mission going to be?
And again, it can be both of those. For example, in our homeschool co-op, One of our pillars, and we'll talk about that later, is that is fellowship. And so it is support for moms and also for kids and families.
So the next question is, what do you do? What is your educational philosophy? Is your community classical, Charlotte Mason, traditional? Do you focus on unschooling? Which means maybe you wouldn't be in a community. I don't know. college prep. You have a lot of options, but you just need to define what is your educational philosophy so that you're not going in a million different directions because you want cohesion in your community.
I'll tell you, if you don't know what your educational philosophy is, choosing curriculum for your community is nearly impossible.
Nightmare.
Because there's so many curriculums and so many good ones. But if you don't know how to narrow those choices down based on your educational philosophy and just stick to it, you'll be in constant deliberation about, well, maybe we should try this curriculum or maybe we should try that curriculum. I mean, we have experienced that. Would you agree?
I would agree too. And it also goes back to the who you are, because if you say that you are a Christian co-op and then you find a curriculum that you like, but it has some very anti-Christian things, then it's not going to, it's going to be very confusing and create conflict in your community. So it's really important to know. And people will that's like a deal breaker right there, right? People will either come to your community or not want to come to your community based on your educational philosophy. So it's really important to be very clear about what you're doing there. And because just like what you mentioned earlier about expectations, if those expectations aren't met or you didn't give a clear example of what your expectations are, they're going to make up their own in their mind, and it's going to create a lot of problems. And you don't want that for yourself or for the people in your community.
And on the other hand, when you are clear and you attract the families that are like-minded, it really helps to build your community. Like, it's not just a negative thing, right? It's not just eliminating people. It's attracting the people that God wants you to be with. It just, I don't know, it creates that cohesion so much more naturally.
Right, when you have people that are in support of your mission statement, because it's clear,
right,
things go smoothly, you attract more of what you want in your community when you have that clarity.
And can I just say that just because you choose to do your community one way, that doesn't mean you can't support another community that does it a different way. That we can, as homeschool, Christian homeschool communities, we should be partnering and supporting each other. And if you know of another co-op that has a different educational philosophy than you, you can refer people to them. You can, you know, they may not be a fit for your community. Doesn't mean that they are not a fit for anybody's community.
That's right.
So,
and they might be in the running to start their own community. Because Molly was part of my small group home team for years, and she did not join our community because she needed to go and start her own community with that had a different philosophy and different activities and stuff. So it's not a bad thing that you don't fit into somebody's community.
We don't need to be in competition with one another.
No.
There's enough to go around.
Yes, more than enough.
And it's exciting, actually, to see more and more communities pop up.
That's right. Yeah. So another question under what do you do is, will your community be based on certain activities? Do you want to focus on a certain geographical area or certain ages of students? Do you only want to do elementary or only do high school? What kind of skills or style of curriculum that you want to offer in your community? And who's your target member for your community? I would suggest having a range, you know, moms that have some experience under their belt so that they can help some of the new moms. Because if you have a community of all young moms,
it's hard.
Kind of like the blind leading the blind. Mm-hmm. And you really do want some wisdom to come alongside and help those new moms out. They will appreciate that so much.
Mm-hmm. They will appreciate it. But I will say, if you are just, you know, thinking about putting your toe in the water and you just have your best friend and the two of you are wanting to start it out and you both have kids in the same, then just trust that God will bring those people to you. You don't have to be everything to your community. He already put it on your heart, and he will help guide you, and he will bring those people to you. So just keep moving forward and don't stop. Just trust in your calling, that God knows what he's doing when he chose you.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know it's hard to believe sometimes. I feel that way often too.
Well, and oftentimes, especially at the beginning, small is better. You really establish your foundations and what you're all about. And a small group of people can do that easier than a large group of people. So
it certainly isn't as overwhelming to have a smaller group. And when you work out the kinks, it's perhaps a little less painful.
Yes.
When you don't have so many people to
to
try and please.
That's right.
But that's just keep in mind and keep it simple that why you're doing it is to create that clarity and direction so that you lay the foundation for your future.
Yeah. And so, and finally, the kind of the third question that you might ask, who are you? What do you do? Why do you do it? So why are you compelled to start this community or carry on this community? For our community, just to give an example, our end goal is to create wisdom and virtue in our community, in the students and in the parents. And so we look at everything through that lens. So if you don't know where you're going and don't know what the outcome of your community is, it's very hard to set the path going that way.
And we've had to say no to some really good things to uphold our mission.
Yeah.
And so focusing on the most important things. So we have found in our community, for an example, is we've really struggled with high school science and with high school foreign language. We need mentors who have a certain proficiency in those classes that we just didn't have. So we couldn't do them with excellence. And so are we offering it to check off the box, or are we pursuing wisdom and virtue? And so ultimately we decided that in support of our mission statement, it was better not to have high school science or foreign language outside of Latin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we can refer people to somebody who does have that as their mission, who does do that well, and support another group or online co-op or whatever it is that meets those needs, that because we can't meet every single need.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just to recap, the questions are, what is a mission statement? So the mission statement is a clear, short statement, and it includes who you are and what you do and why you do it. So I'm going to read you our mission statement at my homeschool co-op, and this is how it goes. It goes, we are a Christ-centered cooperative for homeschoolers, preparing our children spiritually and academically while building authentic friendships and serving others for the glory of God. So hopefully you heard those three questions answered in that, and you could see our pillars. So our pillars are that we're Christ-centered, academics, friendships, and serving. Those are our four pillars. And we'll help you figure out what your pillars are too in another episode. But those pillars are really clear. And so I know when I'm talking in front of our students, I can ask them, what are our pillars? Why are we here today? And they can tell me what they are. And then we all are focused and running after the same thing. We also, one of the things that we have in our mission statement is a scripture. So our scripture is 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. And it coincides with what we believe for our mission statement.
Another example of a mission statement that is our mission statement is a Christian learning community seeking to nurture wisdom and virtue in our members through a classical education for God's glory. Again, like you said, Pam, the pillars are in there. It's short. It answers those questions, who, why, and what that we talked about before. Our verse that we have founded our mission statement on and kind of our group on is, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, Psalm 18:2. And we chose that just because that's what we always go back to. We want to focus on the Lord. And everything else is secondary to that. So, and that's part of our mission statement.
Yeah. So a few tips as you are contemplating your mission statement is, don't write your mission statement alone. Whoever you're partnering with, if you have a board or you have people that are coming alongside you, work on this together. Don't do it alone. And think long-term. You're not just thinking for the year ahead. Plan for the future. Plan mm-hmm. for your community to go beyond you, because mm-hmm. that's ultimately what we want, is we want it to carry on. We want a legacy of future generations to benefit from our hard work that mm-hmm. we're putting into this community today. So our verse for today is, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Galatians 6:9. And we'd like to invite you to join our new Facebook group. If you go to Facebook and type in She Leads by Faith, you'll find us there. And we will look forward to having more conversation with you over there.
Take care. See you soon.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you found this podcast helpful, applicable, or encouraging in any way, the best way to thank us is to share it with someone who might benefit and to write a review. Here's how to do it from Apple Podcasts. Right now, exit the show you're currently in, then select the library icon on the bottom of the screen. Then select Shows. From there, click on the She Leads by Faith podcast thumbnail. Scroll down until you see Ratings and Review, then click on Write a Review, which is just below. Tell us what you think. We would love to hear how it helped.